Why is this not considered travel related? Why is this considered community spread?
So by definition, travel related would mean that the positive person had been a traveler. And when it's community spread, it means they acquired it within the community having not traveled. So even if they were exposed to a traveler, it still would be considered a community acquired infection.
So the EOC, or Emergency Operations Center, met on Tuesday night after the city council meeting. Can you just give me an overview on why Unalaska didn't shut down following Tuesday's case?
So one of the projects that we as the EOC, what we've been working on behind the scenes, is to look at a document. We've continued to revise it as we've gone, as we have more information on COVID, and that's our emergency response plan. A copy of that plan is on the city's website. The updated plan is also on the city's website. And so as we were looking at this process, there are some mandates coming up that affect industry that will require some surveillance testing within their companies. And so we brought this document back out to take a look to see, you know, how well our definitions fit for what the state was experiencing, and then also how they'd be applied within industry in Unalaska. And so we've been working through this document. We really wanted to tie it as much as possible to the state's definitions. But what we found is that with populations under 20,000 people, those guidelines really just don't work. And our contacts with the state validated that. Really, it's just not sensitive enough of a measure. Theirs is based on basically 5 people out of 100,000 that are positive and another 5 people, and it changes to another level. So for us, there just isn't enough sensitivity there to do that. So when we looked at our plans, they were very complimentary of our plans, first of all, but they did have some suggestions regarding what some other small communities were doing to define low risk. So we expanded that definition. I think previously it had been, you know, that there will be no new cases in Alaska. And we don't expect we're going to be there, you know, any time in the near future. And so is that a reasonable way of measuring our risk? And so we did expand that definition to be a low regional alert level in Anchorage, and then limited or no community spread in regions of Alaska with direct links to us. And that, again, fit well with the recommendations that we received from the state, or the conversations, at least, that we had with the state.
Okay. So can you tell me some of the major differences between our previous emergency response plan and the updated one?
One of the most notable differences in the medium risk category is exactly what you're asking about. So what they've found in the state is that there have been cases in communities which haven't had a significant impact or caused significant spread. So pretty isolated cases. Even if acquired in the community, it doesn't guarantee that that's going to be widespread transmission. So that was a recommendation that came from part of the epidemiology team was to address that component. So we did add that in, and here I can read that to you. Unalaska has isolated cases of unknown source with limited transmission, causing limited risk to the community as a whole. So what we were really trying to get at with these alert levels is, what is our personal risk for acquiring this virus in our community? So we added that isolated cases of unknown source to the plan, and that is the definition that the case from yesterday falls into. So we did not increase the risk to high risk because of the isolation of the case so far. If we are finding that, you know, any community acquired case does have links to multiple people, and additional positives come from that, then we will increase to the high-risk level and everything that goes along with that.
So if more people actually come up positive from this, it's a potential that the city would move to high-risk, and then hunkering down, a school closure, limited business hours, that all of those things could go into effect, theoretically.
Correct.
Okay. How do we stand up to similar communities then? You said that initially that we were trying to kind of follow the state state's definitions, but that they're basically too big. Their definitions were too large.
Yeah.
How do we compare to other kind of similar sized communities at this point in terms of our risk level definitions?
I think we're faring pretty consistently with many. So these risk levels are one piece of the plan, right? And then it's what do you do at each risk level? So I think that's where you'll see some variation from community to community. Some, you know, I think have less collaboration, maybe even less organization to make mandates or you know, change how the community operates based on their thresholds. But the thresholds themselves, I think we're pretty consistent with other small communities.
Okay. And then yesterday, there just seemed to be quite a bit of confusion among community members, among teachers, parents, about why we didn't go into high risk and why we were staying at medium and if school would open. Why weren't these kind of changes that have been, it sounds like, in the works for a couple of weeks, why wasn't that a public process?
Yeah, it wouldn't be a public process because it's an EOC decision. And so the first process wasn't either. I think this is probably our third or fourth review of this document. Again, it's our guidance document to help us to make decisions and our framework to develop. So, yeah, it isn't a collaborative community process to determine alert levels.
So, as you said, this wasn't a public process, and the EOC is responsible for updating the city's risk assessment protocol. For those who may not know what we're talking about when we say EOC, can you tell me what is the EOC and who's part of it?
Yeah, sure. So, the EOC right now, we're in a unified command structure with myself as one incident commander, and the city manager, Aaron Reinders, is the other commander. So this unified command structure basically takes our emergency response plans for the city and for the clinic and unifies them. We've also, and so there are many chiefs that are responsible for different sections of the EOC, of the operations, of our response. And then we also have invited other stakeholders in the community, particularly helping agencies one represents industry, for example. We have USAFE represented. We have the school represented. So as there are other major stakeholders, they're invited to that table as well.
Okay. And how long has this specific revision kind of been in the works?
I'd say probably 3 weeks, this particular revision.
Okay. Well, I don't know that I have any more specific questions about that. Could you just kind of tell me how are you feeling at this point about kind of Unalaska's situation, Unalaska's risk, and what should Unalaskans do moving forward?
Yeah, good question. So I feel really good about where we're at right now. I feel good about the progress that we've made. I feel really good about the response that we've had for the positive cases we've identified so far. Some of those large-scale events, some of those are individuals in quarantine. Now with our first community case, I think our IFHS team doing contact tracing has been really helpful. It allows us to move very quickly. Whereas other areas of the state, that response may take a bit more time. We know our community well, so I think it's a good fit. So that's gone really well. The case that we had yesterday appears at this point to be an isolated case. And again, not to say that no additional positives will come from it, but so far, so good. And we're far enough into the process that I feel really good about it. We also have had pretty mild cases so far amongst those who have tested positive here. We haven't had to medevac anybody based on, you know, worsening symptoms. Of everyone that we've diagnosed so far, I think there's been one hospitalization and outside of our care. So really, you know, of all the things we feared early on in the process, I feel really good about where we're at. And really how this has unfolded in our community. And I think it's, you know, everyone taking it very seriously. we know that we're far from the next level of care. And I think people are just acting, really responsibly to, wearing masks and sanitizing properly in businesses. And I've been so pleased with how well everybody is trying to do the right thing for each other. So I think it's gone really well. I'm very pleased. I'm very hopeful. I know that with a season coming, we will have positives coming in. That's a guarantee. But I think we have a really good process for what to do about it. And a lot of that has been, working closely with industry. And I think they've just done a remarkable job. And it's been hard for them. So I really couldn't be more pleased with the EOC, with the city and our work with the city, and then also with industry, but also the community as a whole. So I think we're in a really good place.